Sarah Lois Vaughn's story began 23 years earlier in Newark, New Jersey. She was born on March 27, 1924, to Ada and Asbury Vaughn, who had moved north from Virginia during World War I during the Great Migration. After the war, Newark represented a land of promise and prosperity. It was New Jersey's largest city and the embodiment of a bustling modern metropolis. Tall buildings lined the streets of downtown. Trolleys ferried passengers through the busy commercial district. The tube linked Newark with New York and Hoboken, and the airport, built in 1928, soon became one of the busiest in the world. This, along with a recently expanded harbor, ensured that Newark thrived as a hub of international manufacturing and trade. Laborers from around the world, including Southern blacks eager to escape the oppression of Jim Crow, flocked to the city. In addition to better-paying jobs, they were drawn to Newark for its promise of desegregated schools, racially mixed neighborhoods, and a well-established, rapidly growing African-American community. Between 1915 and 1930, Newark's black population nearly quadrupled, reaching almost 39,000, 9% of the city's population. Yet upon arriving in Newark, Southern blacks learned that the city practiced its own, particularly northern interpretation of Jim Crow. Although well north of the Mason-Dixon line, New Jersey, in fact, had a long history of racial intolerance. It was one of the last northern states to abolish slavery, waiting until 1804 to enact legislation that began a gradual abolition. In 1860, 18 slaves remained. During the next decade, the state legislature did not support Abraham Lincoln or the Emancipation Proclamation and failed to ratify the Reconstruction Amendments to the Constitution guaranteeing equal citizenship and voter rights for all, regardless of race. The state legislature waited until 1875 to enfranchise black men and 1884 to pass laws prohibiting segregation in hotels, restaurants, and public transportation. Despite the letter of the law, Newark's white community didn't comply, and for nearly 80 years, until the early days of the modern civil rights movement, whites deeply resented black citizenship, denying African Americans the most basic rights and opportunities. They did not have equal access to public services. Local swimming pools were only open to blacks during limited hours when whites were not present. Hospitals remained segregated. Many local department stores did not allow African American customers to try on garments before buying them. And within the workplace, aspiring, hardworking blacks encountered a glass ceiling that prevented them from advancing beyond the lowest paying jobs as unskilled laborers. Nonetheless, the Vaughns moved to Newark filled with optimism. Ada found work as a laundress. She was paid by the piece and likely earned $15 to $18 a week. Asbury worked as a carpenter for similar or perhaps slightly higher wages. Like so many before them, Ada and Asbury settled into the burgeoning African-American neighborhood known as The Hill, a part of the old Third Ward just west of Broad Street and the downtown commercial district. They lived on the top floor of a small duplex at 72 Brunswick Street and probably paid $8 or $10 a month in rent. By 1916, right around the time Ada and Asbury moved to Newark, much of the Third Ward was already a ghetto. Blighted cold water tenements, many without private baths or toilets, were the norm. Despite these poor living conditions, a tight-knit, vibrant community emerged, one that included immigrants from Poland and Germany as well as Jewish families, remnants from the days when the Third Ward was a Jewish enclave. Like many working-class African-Americans, the Vaughns' lives revolved around their church. They became longtime members of Mount Zion Baptist Church in the nearby Ironbound District and pillars of Newark's black religious community. Predictably, many of Vaughn's first musical experiences took place at Mount Zion. As a toddler, she was so intrigued by the church's organ that she would sneak up to the front of the church to sit with the organist during services. Congregants remember a young Vaughn humming along as her mother sang in the choir. And when she began to peck out her own tunes on the family's piano at the age of 7, her parents turned to the church's organist and musical director for weekly piano lessons, paying 25 cents per lesson. Music permeated the Vaughn household. "Not the kind of music I sing," Vaughn explained in 1961. They sang the music of God.